Hi, welcome to Visual Studio Toolbox. I'm your host, Robert Green, and joining me today is Andrew Hall. Hey, Andrew.
Hi, Robert.
Welcome back on the show.
Thank you.
You've been on the show a number of times.
I have.
Doing episodes on debugging, mostly.
Yeah.
But now you have a new job. You're with a new team.
Tell us about that. So I moved to the web development tools team. So we do all of the tooling for ASP.NET, the web editors, HTML, CSS, JSON. And then we also build tools for Azure App Service.
Cool. So we're going to talk today about the tools inside Visual Studio for doing Azure Functions.
Yeah.
Azure Functions is very interesting. I know it's been covered on other shows like Cloud Cover, but you're going to show us tools for doing them.
I am.
But let's start with a review of what are Azure Functions and why are we interested in.
Yeah, so Azure Functions are often called serverless computing, and it's the idea.
Which is ironic since they run on a server somewhere else.
It is, and I'll explain what that means. But the reason it's called serverless computing is you don't have a dedicated process that's up and running. And so the idea is that it's event-driven, and the function only runs and only consumes resources on the server when it actually has an event to respond to. So you can do an HTTP trigger, which would be a traditional, generally how you interact with like an ASP.NET app or something like that. But there's tons of other events that we'll talk about. You can respond to things being put into queues and blob storage. And you know, you can wire up to listen to when things change in GitHub or things like that. So the idea is you can, they kind of are the glue that stitch other things together.
So it's kind of cool because in cloud computing, there are things happening on the cloud. Like you mentioned, something goes into blob storage, which is an event that happens in the cloud, and Azure Functions give you a way of hooking into those events, right?
Correct.
Cool.
Yeah, so the idea then is you only actually pay for the resources that you're using while your code is running.
Right.
So Azure Functions, basically, they charge you by the hundreds of milliseconds that your application's running for.
Cool.
As opposed to normally, if you wanted to do something with a, if you had think like a normal like ASP.NET process or something like that, and you want it to be able to scale and always be available, it's basically up there and always running. So you're sort of paying for some, and you can have it scale up or scale down, but you always have some amount of code that's taking up server resources and available at all times.
Yep. So you want to write some code that is triggered when somebody adds a picture or a document into file storage as an example. So, you know, maybe somebody in the field is taking a photograph of something, you know, whether it's an adjuster goes out and looks at your vehicle, uploads photos, and at that point, some process kicks off. But rather than, as you said, sitting there constantly spinning the meter or, you know, writing some file watcher type thing that is constantly querying, there's an event that gets triggered, and then you get to write code on that.
Correct, yeah. So let's pick your adjuster example, because that's a great example. You have an insurance adjuster that goes out, they fill out a report, they take some pictures, they upload it.
Mm-hmm.
So now what a function can do is you can look for the presence of something changing on a blob storage location, and you can say, okay, whenever something goes into this, let me know. The function code is just going to pick that up, and it's going to put the images in the right place. It may process the form that they uploaded, stick that information in a database, and then the function goes away.
Send out notifications, do any number of things.
And so when someone runs the nightly report, all that information is just there and ready. So instead of having to do it as a batch job where you say every, you know, an hour we're going to pick up and look for stuff, you can just process them nicely on demand. It's always there. You don't have weird refresh problems. You don't make people on the other end wait because, you know, so either you write it, if you think about, if you can't do it based on the event, you have to have it on some sort of cadence. So you might say twice a day. Well, that means if somebody goes and runs a report at 11 a.m. and you run it at noon and 5 p.m., it's out of date.
Right.
Or if you go, say, look for stuff in the queue and process it, when they go run that report, it's not going to take them longer to run that report.
Or if you're waiting for something, you don't have to now go look for it every 5 minutes to see if it's there. You can be told when it's there.
Exactly. So, you know, Azure Functions, they have a lot of great input and output things. So you could say, hey, like when I finish processing this, I'm going to send an email to the relevant party.
Yep.
So maybe one of the fields in that report that the adjuster uploads is the email address that the person on the other end, the back end, that needs to know when that's available.
Yep.
So the Azure function processes the information, puts it in the database, and the last task it does is actually sends an email that says, hey, this information is now available.
Cool. Now, most of the demos I've seen of Azure Functions, you actually write the code in the portal,
correct,
which is cool, of course. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with writing code outside of Visual Studio. But for those of us that want to write our code inside Visual Studio, that's what you're going to show us now.
That's what I'm going to show you, yeah. So, cool. I mean, I think the feedback that we've heard is the portal's great for getting up and getting started really quickly. But I think most of us that have done development for a while realize that as soon as you want to start building up meaningful amounts of code that you're stitching together, working in an IDE like Visual Studio is going to be much more productive.
Plus the context switch, right? If you're writing the rest of the app, why do I have to switch over to the portal to write a piece of the functionality of the app and come all the way back into Visual Studio?
And here's the million-dollar question, Robert. How do you debug it in the portal?
That is a good question. I predict we're going to find out how I would debug it in Visual Studio.
That's a good prediction. Something about my past life, maybe. All right, so I want to point out, before I get going here, that the tooling we have today is a preview, and it's available only for Visual Studio 2015 as a separate download. And so you can go to our blog, so my web developer blog, so it's blogs.msdn.com/webdev, and then you'll find near the top my post on Visual Studio Tools for Azure Functions. This has the instructions for how to everything that you need. So basically, you need Visual Studio 2015 Update 3.
Yep.
Makes sense. The Azure SDK 2.9.6, which is the most recent version of the Azure SDK, or later. And then you need to download and install our preview tooling on top of that, which is what this link is right here. So, you know, if you're already doing Azure development, you probably already have these two out of the way. And then you just need to download and install our basically preview bits
on top
of that.
Or if you automatically install anything Visual Studio tells you to.
Yeah, we won't, aren't going to automatically install the Azure SDK unless you're working with Azure.
Right.
We don't recommend that you install the Azure SDK for the sake of it.
Yeah, but if you install it ever, then you'll get a notification that tells you there's a new version of it.
Correct.
So
that's correct, yeah. Yeah, so that's worth calling out. So you're not going to go to vanilla Visual Studio 2013 Update 3, sorry, 2015 Update 3, and find what I'm about to show you.
Right.
You're not even going to install the most recent Azure SDK and find what I'm about to show you. You actually then have to also go install the special preview tools on top of that.
Okay, well, in 2017, what's the story?
Yeah, so the preview right now exists for Visual Studio 2015 only. You know, we're working on Visual Studio 2017 right now. We are in the RC phase of that. Functions tooling that's not a preview isn't going to be available in 2017 when we ship the RTM product. Okay. It will come sometime after that. And we will not take the preview label off of it until it works in 2017. But the reality is just with, you know, do few things and do them well. So as a team right now, we're really focused on finishing 2017 at a high quality, especially finishing the tools for .NET Core.
Right.
And so once we finish that, once we ship that, we'll be able to go and dedicate our focus on getting Azure Functions tooling up to snuff and ready into a V1 state. All right, so I'm in the new project dialog. And under the cloud node here, under C#, I can pick the Azure Functions. And notice it has a preview label on it. And so let's go ahead and just call this, how about toolbox function app?
Okay.
Toolbox functions. All right, so we're going to go ahead and create our new project. Take a couple seconds. And you notice that as this comes up, I'm going to have a sort of a vanilla project here with a couple files in it. And so I have appsettings.json. This is where I'm going to stick information, that configuration data that my application is going to use, like the connection string. So for example, every function type except for a HTTP trigger is required to have a storage account associated with it.
Okay.
And then this Azure Web Jobs dashboard, this is not actually a particularly interesting moment. This just tells it where to pipe log output. So if I'm running locally, it would then show up in the portal anyway. I don't really need that. So, but when we eventually want to connect up to like a blob storage or a queue or something like that, we're going to go ahead and put the connection string here in this Azure Web Jobs storage. And then whenever we create functions, we will actually just give it the name of the key here. So I'm going to go ahead and copy this because we'll create a function in a second.
Okay.
And then we have host.json, which is a blank JSON file right now, but we can use it to configure properties about how the functions behave, and we'll show an example of that in a minute. So let's go ahead and get started. I'm going to right-click, and I'm going to say add new Azure function. So it's a special item type today. And you can see that anything that you can do in the portal from a language perspective, we support in Visual Studio. I will mention, though,
including Bash.
Including Bash.
Which is command line stuff, right?
Yeah, that's generally a...
Okay, cool.
Yep. But so we're going to go ahead and focus on C Sharp today, so we'll filter this list just to that. And I'll mention most of the stuff that I'm going to show you in Visual Studio. Like, you can create and you can edit, depending on what you have installed, will dictate whether you get IntelliSense or not. But obviously, we're going to get IntelliSense for C Sharp pretty much no matter what, assuming if, in Visual Studio 2015, C Sharp's always installed. And debugging only works on C Sharp functions today.
Okay.
So let's go ahead and create a queue trigger, because it really demonstrates everything we want to talk about in a nice, lightweight fashion. So I have an Azure storage account open here already. And so I have a queue that's called MyQueueTest. So let's go ahead and say the name of the queue is going to be MyQueueTest. Remember I mentioned that key value pair here for a second? So Azure Web Job Storage, that's the name of the key that's going to contain the connection string.
That's not the actual connection string. That's the
correct.
Name of the key,
the name of the key that's going to contain the connection string.
Got it. That's good to know.
And that's so I can share, we'll talk about the structure a little bit more after I generate this, but that's so I can share connection strings across multiple functions because the way they work today.
Yep.
So queue trigger C sharp, that's good enough for now. Let's go ahead and say create. And so you can see I get a folder here that's dedicated to the function that I just created.
So you can have multiple functions in the same solution.
Correct. So you can have as many functions as you want. If you wanted, you could have a JavaScript function, you could have a C-sharp function, you can have F-sharp function. They can all exist happily in the same same solution today. Let's go ahead and close the properties here. And so what I have here is I have function.json. This is, just want to open you. There you go. I tried to drag it apparently instead of double clicking it. This is going to contain some information that we entered in the portal. So this tells the runtime how to bind the function entry points. So the name, that's pretty self-explanatory. The type, what type of, what are we listening to? It's a queue trigger. And then from a param, and then we have MyQueueTest. So this is the name of the queue. And then this is, I mentioned we had, this is the name of the key that's going to ultimately contain the connection string. And the reason for that is if you think about, if I put the connection string in here every time, if I then, like when I moved from, for example, test to production, I might have to go update the connection string in like 20 or 30 different functions.
Right.
But by simply all pointing it at the same key, I only have to update it once. Yep. And so today it's blank, so this isn't going to work. So let's go here to Azure Storage Explorer, and let's go up to this particular storage account. Let's go ahead and grab our connection string. And when we come back to Visual Studio, we'll go ahead and paste that in. Perfect. So that connection string should work now. And so you can see I don't my function at the moment, it's in this contained in this run.csx file. It doesn't do anything particularly interesting at the moment.
Just lets you know that it ran.
It's going to print something in the log. So it's going to go ahead, let's go ahead and hit F5 and just watch it run, see if it's going to work as we would expect. So I'm going to see that this command line is going to come up. This is the function's runtime. And so these are dynamically compiled currently. So if I had any compilation errors, which hopefully I don't because it's just a vanilla template, I would expect to see those here. And it's going to tell me that the job host has started, and so we're waiting for something to happen. Oh, so I forgot one thing. I mentioned the host.json. So by default, a lot of these things in Azure, they don't necessarily, there's a time period for how often they actually check for updates before they would get triggered. So at the moment, it's going to be the default behavior for the queue is it's going to check once a minute. So what I want to actually do is I want to come in here and I want to update it to say, let's check once a second so we don't have to wait for a minute. It's kind of dead air time, right?
Right.
So the nice thing is we have IntelliSense for this. So I think I'm doing queues, so let's do that. And then I want to go ahead down here and I want to say max polling interval. And let's do 1,000, so this is a millisecond. So that should change our max polling interval to once a second instead of once a minute. All right, it's going to come up and run. Perfect. Now, if we did everything correctly, I should be able to go push something into this queue, a message. And let me go ahead and add something. Let's say, hi, toolbox. Let's click OK. And now when I go back here to watch my, I can see that it's going to tell me that the C-sharp queue trigger function processed hi, toolbox.
Yeah, cool.
So we've actually just connected up. And I want to point out, I'm using Azure Storage Explorer. This is nothing running locally. I'm actually working against a real Azure Storage account in the cloud.
Right.
But I'm running everything locally. And now, this is going back to our question before, and this is one of the things you can't do in the portal today. What if I want to debug this? So notice my breakpoint bound. That's a good sign. Let's go ahead back to Storage Explorer. Let's add another one. Let's call it breakpoint is going to be my message. And back here in Visual Studio, I can see that the breakpoint hit.
Cool.
And so I'm doing regular debugging. So I'm going to hit F10. I'm going to step. I can step. I can use the debugger to inspect my variable values. So as I'm developing these things, I can actually run, test, and debug them locally using the Visual Studio tools in a really tight loop.
Sorry.
But
no, you finish.
Oh, I say where if I'm doing writing code in the portal, not only am I using the portal editor, which is actually a pretty good editor. They have some IntelliSense and stuff like that. But if I want to debug, I'm relying predominantly on logging.
Right.
So I'm doing this basically what I have here, log.info, right? I call it printf debugging or console.write debugging. So that's kind of what you're forced to do up in the cloud. Or you can remote debug it from Visual Studio. But
cool. And then it'd be easier to put this into source control, these functions into source control, doing it inside Visual Studio, presumably?
Absolutely, because it's just a regular function project. And so functions are fully integrated with the Azure Kudu system. And so you can hook it up for continuous integration, so you can just edit in Visual Studio. Mm-hmm. And we have two ways of deploying them to the cloud. I'll show the web deploy here in a second. So I can right-click on this and say publish, and I can publish my functions that way. Or if I hook up continuous integration going through a Git repository, either using VSTS or GitHub or multiple other source control systems, I can make changes, I can just check it in, and then it'll automatically be continuously deployed into production for me.
Cool.
No manual step required. But let's go ahead and publish this up to the cloud right now. And so say publish. So I'm going to publish it to Microsoft Azure App Service. Let's go ahead and create a new resource group just for the purpose of this to make it nice and easy. So the web app name, toolbox functions, probably good enough. Azure resource group, let's create another one just for us. Central, let's go ahead and go with a new app service plan. I'll talk about these in a second. So this is the idea of what size machine do I want to run these on, or The way that I would probably recommend, which one of the cool things about functions is called a consumption plan. And so what a consumption plan is it's the idea that you're only going to run the function, you're only going to pay for what you use. Like you're not going to have a dedicated sort of VM up there and running like you are with these other ones. It's like you say, hey, if we're not, you're not, none of these are being hit, they're never going to be run, you have no dedicated resources associated with them, but then you can scale them up to as much scale as they need, and you can go in and set some limits on like, scale them as much as needed, but I don't want to pay more than $50 a month or whatever.
Now, does that impact startup time or anything? What's the downside of doing consumption versus those other plans?
That's a good, I think the downside of the consumption plan is more of the, you have to go in and manually configure spending limits, or you can end up with a really, really big bill. Where the and then if you basically say, so these you pay for the size of the dedicated machine that you're running your functions on. If you're in a consumption plan, you're not paying when you're not using them, but if you either could pay an infinite bill, like these will just keep churning away and you may, like they may take a lot longer, but eventually like it'll process through everything in the queue. With a consumption plan, it will basically infinitely scale unless you set a price limit on it, but once you hit the price limit, you stop processing for that month.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yep.
So it's really a, I don't know if risk reward is quite the right way to talk about it, but do you want to sort of be able to infinitely scale, but if you go set a price cap, now you're going to potentially stop processing stuff if you ever hit that.
Got it.
Whereas these, it's sort of like, if you think about my laptop here, well, it's just going to continually run, and it's going to churn through things as fast as it can. It's not going to scale well, but I also have a fixed cost, and it's just going to keep chugging on things.
All right.
Let's go ahead with the consumption plan. I'm going to go ahead. I'm here in the West US. Let's go ahead and put it in the West US. Let's say OK. Let's pick a storage account. Why does it not? Why are you not happy? The name can only contain lowercase letters. All right. go ahead and create that.
These are preview bits.
These are preview bits. That's correct. Although I vaguely remember that bug with the lowercase versus thing. I think it was actually an issue on the Azure side.
Yeah.
Like they wouldn't accept uppercase letters for some reason. Just, I guess calling too lower was hard. I don't remember.
You call too lower. No, you call too lower.
Well, it's always just dangerous to change what people type in.
Yeah, I guess.
Well, some things are case sensitive, some things are not. But you know, changing someone's case without them knowing it could always, I'm guessing, could result in a bad something bad happening. All right, so we now have it. So let's go ahead and click publish. So this should take about, 10, 15 seconds or so.
Mm-hmm.
Any questions while we're going?
So you're now publishing this to Azure. Before you were running it locally or running it in Azure?
No, so before I was running the function locally.
Locally, okay.
Yeah, and so what I just did is we published it to Azure.
Yep.
And so now if I go to the portal, I would expect to see, so let's go to resource groups. I created my new resource group called Toolbox. And I can see that I have a function app in here.
Mm-hmm.
And once that loads, we should see our C# trigger. And I can
and
see, sure
code,
enough, that's my
which
code.
You could edit here. And
which I could edit here.
Would get automatically updated in Visual Studio.
No,
when you
would not
over,
get
no?
automatically updated in
oh,
Visual
okay.
Studio. So if I make any edits here, unless I manually brought them back to Visual Studio, they're going to get overridden the next time I publish.
Oh, okay.
So basically once you're in Visual Studio becomes a source of truth if you choose to publish.
Okay.
And actually, if you hook it up to the continuous integration that I mentioned using Git source control, it actually won't let you edit in the portal. It's a read-only view.
Okay.
And it will say like this is coming from source control, like we don't have the ability to push changes back to source control. Let's go ahead and open up the logs. So I mentioned, so we would expect, we're connected to the streaming log service. So if mm-hmm. now I would expect that if I go push something into my queue, it's going to work in the portal. So let's go ahead and refresh. I would expect the breakpoint message to be gone because we processed it before when we hit the breakpoint. And so let's call this should show in portal. Okay. And if I go up here to back to my portal, it should get processed here at some point. So maybe I have to click the refresh. Or am I still running locally? That could always happen too.
Yeah, how does this know?
All right, so they should be, everything should be queuing off the same thing. So let's try this again. Okay, it's possible I also have some previous function I created that's actually queued up to this. That happens sometimes because I didn't create a new dedicated, so it's basically the first person to check the queue and to process it wins. So that's going to be my guess, if that's what's happening. I guess the other question is we go to our app settings and see if, remember these are preview bits, so it's possible our connection string didn't get passed in correctly. So let's go ahead and let this finish. And Azure Web Job Storage, that should have gotten picked up correctly. That looks probably right, but let's go ahead and back to Visual Studio and double check. Where's my app settings.json? Oh, nope, that doesn't look like the same connection string. So So that's actually must be my issue. I mentioned these are preview bits. In theory, when we do stuff in ASP.NET, we try to pick up stuff from your app settings and set the connection string appropriately. But I guess in this case, it got connected to the, so let's go ahead and just update this. Perfect. Boom. Let's save that change. Perfect. So I can see that I still have some messages in the portal. And I'm guessing with that change, it should pick up and start processing these. So let's go ahead and close view. Let's go back to my function. And once the streaming logs get up and connected, it should probably just take a second to pick up those changes. I may have, oh, you know what I just did? I broke myself here. I connected the storage queue up to a different one than the source code was stored on. So it's now saying like, hey, you changed the storage location that you're putting me in. You should be I can't access the source code because the source code for it actually gets stored in the storage account. So sorry, that was my bad. Let's go actually just reuse the same storage account that we're using over here. So this is function ACBA. So now in Visual Studio, let's go ahead and create a new publish profile. Let's say publish. Let's go create a new profile. We can go ahead and use our toolbox resource group. Let's go ahead and say new. Let's go ahead and say Y should mean dynamic. And then storage account, let's go with the function ACBA. So this is the same one I'm pointing off to off the queue.
Okay, so you chose the wrong storage account when you published.
I did, I could have added a different key. So the problem is like I changed what, like this is, this this value here is actually, this is covering it, but that Azure function storage is where it's going to store the source code. And I could have added a different key and pointed at a different, different storage account, but by going in and changing it in the portal, I then actually screwed up where, like, again, it's like I can't find the source code. So, so this should fix it. Let's republish.
Well, that's good. One of the things I love doing on this show is showing what it's like in real life to use these things. If you come in here and it's a perfectly polished demo, my first thought is, okay, right. That doesn't happen in the real world. What would it look like in the real world? So now we're seeing that.
Yeah, so like I said, so what I could have done here alternately is I could have said like, I need a comma here, but I could have said like queue connection. And then deployment failed.
Uh-oh.
Using specified process because the process web is started on the remote server. Now let's just try it again. Let's see what happens. Profile. It's like the most more recent one. All right, let's do what happens again. If not, we'll go with this this route here.
Okay.
All right, worked that time. Sometimes these things fail, right? So now, if I come back here, let's go ahead and refresh. Maybe just close this out. Let's go ahead into our toolbox. So that's the resource group that we used. And so this looks like the one that we probably just published. Mm-hmm. We created a new app because I didn't reuse the app name. So I created a new instance of it. Perfect. Our C# trigger's there. Go ahead and look at our logs. Here we go. And then now it worked correctly. So we can say that it's processed the messages. So
cool.
Does that make sense? Did I explain myself well enough what I screwed up?
Yep.
Okay. All right. So now we actually see it running in the portal. So we did it Visual Studio local.
So
we
were able to
run debug locally.
A nice tip and trick for when working with Azure is don't accept the names that it gives you with all those numbers.
Yes.
Use your own name so you can keep track of what's what.
Yeah, and the reason it gives you those sort of crazy, crazy numbers is because this is actually a public endpoint
that
anybody can hit because I didn't add any authentication to it. And so, it has to be unique within the Azure system.
And the easiest way to do that is just add a bunch of random numbers at the end,
correct,
which is great as a default, but then it confuses you when you're looking at your own stuff.
Correct. Okay. It's fine if you have one. As soon as you have more than that.
Yes.
Which one did I actually do?
Right.
So last thing I want to show is, so I showed doing this to the portal. So let's say this, because this happens sometimes, right? So let's say I had the wrong connection string or something like that. I get it up here and it was getting triggered, but it wasn't behaving quite like I expected. So if I can go back to Visual Studio, I can go to Cloud Explorer. And I'm going to go ahead and just pin this here. This should come up. And so I can go down here and I can look at my app services. Go ahead and collapse this. And I can see the function apps that I just created.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the one we're currently on. And I can right click on this and I can debug it.
Ooh.
So let's go ahead and say attach debugger. I can come back here to my run.csx. Let's go ahead and unpin this for a second.
And this is so you can debug the version running in Azure as opposed to the version running locally.
Correct. Because I have had it when I've been writing some of these. You know, anybody that's ever done server development runs into this. It runs great on your machine.
Yes.
For some reason, when you publish it up, you know, to the test server
yes.
or something that's not your machine, it's not working quite right.
Right.
And so what remote debugging
I've
lets
heard
you
of
do,
that.
You have.
I've heard of that happening.
It's never
yes.
happened to you.
I think it's an urban legend, personally. But I know people who swear by it.
All right. So it looks like... And I mentioned before, right, the ability to run and debug locally is really valuable, because while we offer the ability to remote debug, mm-hmm. you can see that, you know, we're dealing with the cloud, and so there's a lot of latency that can actually be involved in that. So the risk of dynamics, so I realize as I say this, that I may be in a world where I could get myself in trouble, is you can get switched back and forth between machines. So a dedicated VM, going back to that question, why did my code go away? Something weird happened.
Ooh.
Don't know why that would have made it disappear.
That's weird.
That is very odd. These are preview bits, so the remote debugging should not... Should not have. So something weird went on there. As you mentioned, this is a real life show, and I have no explanation for that because my code just went away. That may be a bug we just found live on the air.
Cool.
So in theory, what should have happened, and it's always worked before for me, is I should have been able to just right click. I should have been able to say attach debugger, and then I should have had that breakpoint bind and hit. So let's go here. I can browse my files through here. So this is. Toolbox functions this, and I can go here and I can say files, and it's unable to receive, yeah, which makes sense because it's basically telling us that there's no files aboard. I have no idea what happened, Robert.
Interesting.
I am as confused
as anybody.
Well,
I guess we won't be showing that, but it's in there.
It's in there.
And it should
and,
work.
Well, apparently we now know that until we get whatever that just happened.
Well, it did
fixed.
Work, to full disclosure, we redid this episode because... The first time we did this, neither of us was really happy with it. And it worked then, right?
That's correct,
okay,
yeah.
So.
All right, so let's go ahead up here. Let's just say publish. I don't need the preview to populate itself. So let's try this one more time, just because I'm stubborn and I refuse to accept failure. All right, so it's up there. So if I go back to the portal, and I go back here, and I click this one, we see... Source code
okay,
there.
Good.
All right, let's refresh. Still there.
That's good.
Awesome. So let's go back to Visual Studio. Let's go back to Cloud Explorer. Well, that's not going
to...
There is
refresh?
Actually a bug in Cloud Explorer. Right now we fixed it for the next version, but it's not yet in this particular thing. So let's go ahead and say attach debugger. Let's see what happens. So as I mentioned, debugging is going to only be reliable when you create a dedicated machine. So the interesting thing about Dynamic is because it scales, it can hop around between instances in Azure.
Okay.
So I don't know if we exposed a bug related to that, but it's always possible that you'll never hit your breakpoint. It's possible. It's not likely.
Oh.
But it's possible that if the function's under load, you could attach to instance A, and if I go push something into the queue, it could get processed by instance B. All right, so let's see. Let's go ahead and refresh this.
And that's
see.
Only right. that's only something under that plan, the plan you chose versus the other plans?
Yeah, that's only with the dynamic, because you don't have
okay.
a dedicated machine.
Right.
You're getting like potentially scaled up on multiple machines.
Oh, okay.
And so when I right-click and say attach debugger, it picks a particular instance. As long as the function's not under load, in practice, it should only ever run
okay.
on one particular instance. And I can see that my breakpoint bound, as we would expect. So let's go ahead and add something to the queue. Remote debugging. And let's go ahead and push that into the queue. And the breakpoint hit.
Hooray.
We can see that we're attached
Excellent.
Remotely.
Cool.
So I have no idea what happened the first time, but want to just point out we did succeed.
Very nice.
And the message says remote debugging exclamation point. And notice that we're running
yep.
up in Azure. So go ahead
Sweet.
And hit that finish. Now when I refresh, I can see it's gone out of the queue.
Stuck to it and proved it.
That's right.
All right, so that is cool. So Azure Functions, very cool functionality. If you're doing any kind of cloud development, you should definitely look into that. And these tools, in spite of being in the preview state, they work pretty well. We ran into a couple issues, but I think they're in decent shape for people to play around with.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, some of the problems are my own problems. Picking the wrong store, changing my storage account, yep. Things like that. So, mm-hmm.
Cool.
All right.
Thanks so much.
Thank you very much.
All right, Robert. Hope you enjoyed that, and we will see you next time on Visual Studio Toolbox.